Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you this morning. Amen. I hope that you're happy to be here. It's worshiping God, and that last song, really the last couple songs, well, frankly, the whole set, just coming before God. I think that what God keeps putting on our hearts as we continue to seek after Him and search for Him in our lives is just the greater need we have. The closer we get to God, the more we realize how much we need God in our lives and how lost we are without Him. You know, it's amazing looking back at life how much you think you know when you're young, and the older you get, the more you realize I need God more and more, and how dependent on God I am, and how thankful I am for God's grace, for His mercy, for His love. Things that keep us going in life and just knowing who God is and just all the ways that He enters our life with blessing and with the works of His hands. And I want to talk a little bit, picking up on where we left off last week. So let's turn to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. While you do that, I want to say hello to all the people online. I got 5 cards this week from people that watch online every week. And it's just so nice. Thank you so much for supporting this ministry and just for your cards of thanks to us. It's just a real blessing and a treat to get cards from different people around the country. And I don't think I knew any of them. Maybe one before this church got started. So it's just kind of neat to meet people from afar and get contacts from them. But notice here it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." In other words, I don't want you to have no knowledge of spiritual gifts. I want you to be aware of them, what they are, and how they are in the church. Notice he says, "You know that you were Gentiles carried away to all these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." And saying Jesus is Lord is more than just saying Jesus is Lord with your mouth. It is confession that comes from the heart that says, Jesus is Lord, my Master, the one who has authority in my life. That is what comes by the Spirit of God. It is more than just being able to say the phrase. It is confessing the phrase and knowing that Jesus is your Lord. But I want you to notice here in verse 3, the intimacy of this. "I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So our relationship then is dependent on the Holy Spirit, is it not? If we do not have the Holy Spirit in us, how can we truly say Jesus is my Master? We might be able to say the words. We might be able to mouth the actions. We might be able to put on an outside appearance that He's our Lord. But He won't truly be our Lord except by the Spirit of God. It is a divine work that happens in our lives. As much as the planet Earth was in darkness, was in a state of void that was not usable for any good thing, to produce any fruit, to support life for anyone, that is exactly how our lives are without the Spirit of God. It takes the Spirit of God moving in our lives to transform us. Read that Genesis 1. Read it and read it and read it. If you want to understand how God transforms life, it's all there in chapter 1. You are the earth. You are the one that's in darkness. You are the one that's in confusion until God comes and completely changes your whole life. And we are on that path. We are in the new creation. We are His new creation. But that is what is needed for every person to whom God is calling, to whom God is saying, "Come and know me." And we become those vessels to call others as we are walking in that relationship. The relationship with God. The walking in the Spirit. There's a relationship that has to be here. It has to go beyond the learning of knowledge in the head. It has to go beyond the theory or the doctrine or the practices even to who is God, the living God. And is your relationship with God? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. That's why Jesus said, "It's to your advantage that I go away. Because if I go away, I will pray the Father and He will send the Spirit, and the Spirit will lead you into all truth. Spirit will guide you. Spirit will convict you of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Spirit will testify of me," Jesus said. "The Spirit will tell you things to come." In other words, you will have a relationship with God that Jesus said is even better than what me in the flesh with you is. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? And that's what we have been promised. So he says here again in verse 1, I don't want you to be ignorant regarding spiritual gifts. What are spiritual gifts? It is the manifestation of God's grace. It comes from the Hebrew charisma, as we talked about last week. Charis, it's the grace of God that comes to us. And when God comes to us, He doesn't just come and say, I really like you. When He comes, He brings His whole self in. And as much as you have power to give favor to others, think of the power behind God when He says, I favor you. When it says in Chronicles, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, that God is going about looking to show Himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are loyal to Him, think about what's behind that. So that's very dominating when you think about it, isn't it? Who's greater than the God of the universe? And God is saying, I want to show myself strong on behalf of you whose hearts are loyal to me. That's a challenge of faith, is it not? God is challenging us, saying, is your heart loyal to me? Is your heart loyal to me? Because I want to be strong on your behalf. So I do not want you to be ignorant regarding spiritual gifts. There are diversities of gifts, verse 4, but the same Spirit. Diversities of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. Now we talked about last week, here in verse 31 of chapter 12, it says, earnestly desire the best gifts, and yet I show you the better way, which is love. What is that love? A care and concern for others. God first with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and our neighbors as ourselves, but even to the point of laying down our lives for our neighbors, just as we would for ourselves. That is the foundation of the way upon which the gifts of the Spirit operate. God's grace operates in God's love. Your love for someone, your care for them, is what opens the way for God to use you as a vessel to love them. Because you can say of our flesh, what do I have to offer? But in the Spirit, what does God have to offer? Our lives in a walk with God are to be intimate with Him so that He can do His work through us to others for their grace, for the giving of His grace and benefit, that it would produce good fruit in their lives. So I challenge you, don't be ignorant about spiritual gifts. But as Paul said, earnestly desire the best gifts. Chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts. Something to seek. Something to go after. And notice again, verse 12, even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel. Again, because you love. Because you love, you want these gifts. Not to show off, not to boast, not to say I have this. In fact, as we talked about what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, it's not even a sign that you're a true follower of His. He said many will come in that day saying, Lord, Lord, we've stopped demons in your names. We've done many signs and wonders. He said, that doesn't mean you know me. He said, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Many can have the works of God going on by faith in their lives. That doesn't mean they know God. Because love is the way. Love is the foundation. Love is the root. That's why Jesus said, the great commandments, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's why God, with His own finger, wrote out on the tablets 10 commandments. And when Moses broke them, He wrote them out with His own finger again. He didn't make Moses do it. He did it. But that finger now is not coming onto stone. It's coming into our hearts. The new covenant is the law written on the hearts. As He wrote on tablets of stone, so He is writing in these hearts of flesh. This new heart that He gives us, a new way of living, according to His way of love. But now notice here back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7. It says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. To the one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the Spirit. Let's talk about these a little bit. Let's begin with the word of wisdom. Turn with me back to chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Notice here in verse 1 he says, brethren, I came to you, I did not come with excellency of speech or of wisdom declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. and my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. However, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Now, this first aspect of wisdom, it's a word of wisdom. That word is, it's the word logos. It's the same word that's used as the name of the Savior, Jesus Christ, in Revelation 19:13. Jesus is the Word of God. But that word is also used for the expression of thought. And you'll notice that in a lot of the gifts of the Spirit, it is about word. Because the spoken word is the spoken thought. The thought of God. These are the thoughts of God written down. The words communicate God's thoughts. And by the Spirit, we understand the wisdom that has been hidden from the ages. You and I are here. We are made in the image of God. God has prepared a whole kingdom for us. And He has declared not only would we receive a spirit to be alive, but a spirit of adoption, whereby you and I become children of God, whereby we call out Dad to the Creator of the universe. Dad. He says, and if heirs of God, then joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Do you believe that? I'm not just saying, do you intellectually assent that that's what this says? I'm saying, do you believe that? See, that's a life-changing belief. If you truly believe that you have received the Spirit of God and you are the sons and daughters of God, that's life-changing. Because you're not living for this world. You're not living for what it has. In fact, your life is spent to live for God. And these gifts that we're talking about are all about God taking you and using you as a vessel for His honor and glory in the life of someone else. That you lay down your life for others as Christ laid down His life for you. See, that's where the gifts operate, in the spirit of love for one another. And that comes from a communion with the Holy Spirit. That's the walk of God. To know God, to know His plans, to know His patterns. And that word of wisdom that Paul was speaking, to know Christ, is revealing why you are here. The mystery of the ages, Christ in you, the hope of glory. See, I challenge you to say, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that you are on this earth to be God's child and to be glorified? Because Romans 8 says that's why you're here. Whom He foreknew, He predestined. Who He predestined, those He called. Those He called, He sanctified. Those He sanctified, He's going to glorify. That's why you're here. God is bringing forth a family of children. You're invited. You're invited to be part of the family. You're invited to sit at His table. You are invited to be a child of God and to bring forth His love, His peace, His joy, His life to other people. Do you believe that? Because that is the foundation of understanding of the wisdom of God, the gift that we receive from the Holy Spirit, to even understand why we're walking on this earth right now. We live in a world in darkness. We live in a world that's groping for truth. We live in a world that's desperate, but they don't know what for. And so kids are bored. Kids don't know what to do. And basically, this world is like, how can I fill you with distractions to keep you endlessly distracted from what life is truly about? You don't need a cell phone. You don't need a computer. You don't need a television. You don't need these things for this work. Because what's happening is right here in the heart and in the mind by the Spirit of God. Now, a computer, a phone, a television, they might be helpful in the process. But only if they're used the right way. But if everything of your life is, I gotta always have it on, wake up. Wake up. you were born for so much more than this. Have the wisdom to know and understand the times you live in. Turn with me over to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 24. Jesus in verse 42. Matthew 24 verse 42. He says, "Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your Lord is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief was coming, he would have been watching and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect. Who then is a faithful and wise servant?" A word of wisdom. How should you be living your life on this earth? Who is the faithful and wise servant, who his master made ruler over his household to give them food in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his master, when he comes, will find so doing. Wisdom. Wisdom to be doing. Wisdom to consider your life. Turn with me over to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Ephesians 5, verse 15 says, "See then that you walk circumspectly," that is, carefully, on purpose. Basically, walk on purpose. Don't just go off in any path, in any direction. Walk in the way that God has for you. And he says, look, not as fools, but as wise. What is wisdom? Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. In other words, are you thinking about God and what He's interested in? Are the things on God's heart and mind, not just for yourself, but for other people, occupying your thoughts, occupying your days? Are you laying down your life for others? Turn over with me back now to Matthew chapter 22. So we have the word of wisdom that is the purpose for our life. We have a word of wisdom that comes that tells us how to live our life. The will of God, understanding the way to go. Because that's really what wisdom is. It's being able to take the things God gives and to use them and apply them in a way that you live. And so God is showing us that there is a way to live. But now I want you to notice these words of wisdom too. That came to Jesus. Verse 15 of Matthew 22. "So then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk." Big mistake, right? This is the word of God. Right? "And they sent to him their disciples and with the Herodians, saying, 'Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of man. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?' And Jesus perceived the wickedness and said, 'Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money.' So they brought him a denarius, and he said to them, 'Whose image and inscription is this?' And they said to him, 'Caesar's.' And he said, 'Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's.' And when they heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way." A word of wisdom. God gives this to his servants, the word of wisdom, to understand how to answer when maybe the answer seems confusing. Maybe you don't always know the answer. The word of wisdom to give an answer when it's needed. Now, I can tell you as a parent, this is an invaluable gift. As a person that employs people, it's an invaluable gift. As a person that seeks business from people, it's an invaluable gift. In working with people, period, it's an invaluable gift. A word of wisdom. How many times I've opened my mouth when I wish I would have just said, "God, help me now." But wisdom is something that God grants. It's a gift. In book of James in chapter 1, it says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask, believing that he will receive." And he says, "You shall receive." But don't let that person who doubts think they're going to receive it. So here's the thing. When you pray for wisdom, believe that you will receive it and go forth with the expectation that God will help you with what to say. Believe me, every time I get asked to counsel, I'm like, what am I doing here? It is an amazing thing to pray and ask God to give wisdom, and how many times the answer comes that I wasn't expecting, but when I hear it, it's exactly the truth. That's the Spirit of God. That's what you want to employ. That's what we're seeking. Spiritual gifts.
the word of wisdom in the time that wisdom is needed. We live in a world that lacks wisdom, that ignores the foundational truths of God. And it works in a manly, carnal wisdom that has nothing to do with the great purposes of life. Everything that is true wisdom is ordered from God first. His plans, His ways, why you're here, and then it just flows out. But David said that because he knew God's thoughts, he was wiser than all the older people and all the elders that were around him, because he was looking to God and God was blessing him with that word. And of course, God had him pen many of these verses. Notice down here even further, in verse 33, they were all astonished at his teaching. Again, the way Jesus was teaching. Verse 34, but when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, because he had asked them about, well, you know, about the resurrection, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. So again, they're coming at him, and throughout his ministry, they would challenge the Lord and try to trip him up on the Word of God and Scriptures. And so he asked them, what is the great commandment in the law? And Jesus answered him. Now let's just drop down here to verse 41. So when the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what do you think about the Christ, whose son he is? So after all the questions they had asked him, he asked them a question, saying, who do you think he is? And they said, the son of David. And he said to them, how then does David in the Spirit call him Lord? Saying, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. If David then calls him Lord, how is he his son? And it says, and no one was able to answer him a word. Nor from that day on did anyone dare ask him any more. A powerful gift of wisdom to basically say, enough. You've asked me questions, I've answered you, but now enough. The wisdom. Those are the things that we need, again, in our relationships. To have wisdom to benefit others, to have wisdom to answer others, and even at times to put a stop to things. Turn over with me to Luke 21. Let's start in verse 10. Luke 21, verse 10. Nations will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake. But it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Isn't that awesome? Just to see, like, yeah, you're going to be brought, you're going to be arrested, you're going to have to answer, but this is for you to give testimony. Therefore, settle it in your hearts not to meditate beforehand on what you will answer. That is such wise advice, not just for the end, but always. Part of wisdom is simply listening. Listening and looking for God to direct the way to answer. Sometimes we want to answer. We start formulating the answer before we've even heard the whole matter. The book of Proverbs says that's a foolish thing to do. Listen. But he says, don't premeditate what you're going to say. Just let it come. Let God do the work. So don't meditate on it beforehand, what you will answer. Verse 15, for I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which all your adversaries will not be able to contradict or resist. Do you see how this gift could be helpful to you in your life? The gift of the word of wisdom, to be able to speak the things that God would have spoken, to give testimony, to give answer, to give counsel, to give help to someone else. Sometimes people don't see what wisdom is. But you, who've been given the book, this book, and the Spirit of God together, have the ability to serve others. As a child of God, you are here to do that. To serve others. Now, if you're just starting out, this is your time of learning. You need to be learning the Word of God. You need to be taking it in. Some of you are learning. You should be asking questions. You should be seeking the truth. You should be developing your relationship with the Spirit. Others of you are further on the ways. Your responsibility is to act mature, to be growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and to be serving others in that regard. You're not meant to always be a babe, always having to be dependent on someone else spoon-feeding you or taking care of you. Your responsibility is to grow that you may serve others. That's for every person here. That's why there are diversities of gifts and diversities of ministries or services. Every person in the body has a responsibility to the body. What is yours? May God grant you the word of wisdom to know yours. May you seek how you fit, how you help, how you serve in God's church. But every person is to be active. It's not some are active and others sit. That's not it. This meeting is to charge you, to edify you, to help you be encouraged in the work that you should be doing all week long. We come together to worship God, but the work of ministry is ongoing. It's everywhere we go. And oftentimes, these gifts, where they're going to come up, where they're going to be valuable, is right in your workplace. The people that you're meeting with all week long. Ask God, beg God, give me wisdom to speak to someone of your glorious path, of your plans for them, that they would get it. Because here's the awesome thing. We might know in our heads what we think we should say, but when God gives us the words to say, He also has the ability to go on that person and soften their heart and mind to actually hear the words you say. That's the greater miracle. God should be speaking through you words of wisdom, but to give them ears to hear the wisdom, that's something that we should be seeking. And therein again lies love. Love for that person. God, if I'm going to speak this, to say the words, help them hear me, might be one of the most powerful and important prayers you pray for other people. When they need to hear wisdom, help them hear me. Help them hear you. Help them be convicted by your word, by your truth, by your wisdom. See, this is a very intimate relationship that we are to be having with God. Are you talking with God? When Paul talks about praying without ceasing, it's because going through your life, going through the day, how do you conduct yourself in your work, in your business, and in your relationships? We need God in all of it. Where do you want God to stop? So we encourage the relationship through continual prayer. Please, God, help me. Give me the gifts I need for what I'm about to do today. Give me the gifts I need for this meeting. Give me the gifts I need to be efficient. Help my employees. Help the people I'm with to be efficient. Help them to see you. Help them to know you. When you go to school, are you praying for your teachers? Are you praying for your fellow students? Are you looking to God to give help for you and for others? To love them as you would love yourself. To pray and beseech God for them as you would for your own self. That God would bring them out of sin. That God would bring them out of darkness. That God would show them the light. How can we be satisfied with life knowing God when we see so many people around us not knowing Him? I can't be content with that. Our job is to share as often as God gives us opportunity and to let Him lead and guide the sharing. Allow God to work. Don't step out ahead. Let God lead, but expect God to lead. Look for God to lead and have faith and expectation that He will. This is the communion of the Holy Spirit. We have received the Holy Spirit for this very cause, for this work of God. That's why He says, don't be ignorant about the gifts. You need the gifts. You need to know about these things. Okay. Word of knowledge. And there are many other uses of wisdom. I'm trying to help you understand what these are and also what to go after with God. What to be seeking in prayer. 1 Corinthians 12. The next one is the word of knowledge. The word of knowledge. Turn with me over to Gospel of John, chapter 1. John 1, verse 45. This was after Jesus is called out to Philip to follow Him in verse 43, as it's recorded there. And then Philip found Nathanael and said to him, "We have found Him, of whom Moses in the law and also the prophets wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." And Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" Philip said, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward Him. And so here He comes. And as He's approaching to see Jesus for the first time, Jesus says to him, "Behold an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit." And Nathanael said to Him, "How do you know me? How do you know me?" And Jesus answered and said to him, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael answered and said to him, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. A word of knowledge can help begin the process of a calling on a person's life. To speak things that are only known by God. To speak things that man doesn't know of his own nature. They come by the Holy Spirit. A word of knowledge to know where Nathanael was. A word of knowledge to begin a calling. Let's turn back to 1 Kings chapter 19. We're going to look at a word of knowledge that provided encouragement. Verse 14. And this is after Elijah was fleeing for his life and God was coming to him because Jezebel was out for Elijah. And God came. You might remember it was the wind and there was the earthquake. There was the fire. And then the still small voice basically saying, what are you doing, Elijah? And in verse 14, he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, that is Yahweh, God of hosts, because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. So God says, go return to your way in the wilderness of Damascus, and when you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria, and you shall anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel, Meholah, you shall anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. Whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. And then he gives them this word of knowledge. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all of whose knees have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. He felt so alone. He had just had this huge victory, and he had shown fire came down from heaven. It basically showed that God was the true sovereign. That Baal, they had cut themselves. They had cried out to Baal all day. Nothing happened. No fire came down from heaven. Then he prays and it starts to rain again. So after 3 years, he's getting rain back for the nation of Israel. The famine is gone. He shows that God is Lord. The rain starts to come. And then he's feeling all alone as Jezebel seeks to take his life. The loneliness. And God just gives him that one word. There are still 7,000 that haven't bowed their knees. Sometimes you need those words. Sometimes you need to know you're not alone. Sometimes you need God just to speak something of knowledge to give you the encouragement in your life. That's how vital this is and how important it was to Elijah, how important it can be to someone else. To have a word of knowledge, to understand what needs to be happening, what God desires to create. Turn with me now over to Acts chapter 5. So as the word of knowledge is a word, the spoken word of things that are known by God, that are delivered to His people, to know one, to help in a calling, to encourage. Notice here in chapter 5 of Acts, but a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession. And he kept back part of the proceeds, his wife also being aware of it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. And Peter said, Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and keep back part of the price of the land for yourself? Who told him? The Spirit. He had a word of knowledge about what they were up to and what was going on, and the Holy Spirit revealed it to him so he could serve in this situation. And notice what the service was. Verse 4, while it remained, was it not your own? And after it was sold, was it not in your own control? Why have you conceived this thing in your heart? You've not lied to men, but to God. Then Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and breathed his last. So great fear came upon all those who heard these things. The spirit of the fear of the Lord came upon them. They saw what happened. They heard the word of knowledge. God revealed what was going on. And it caused fear to come on the church. Verse 6. So the young men arose and wrapped him up, carried him out and buried him. Now it was about 3 hours later when his wife came in, not knowing what had happened. And Peter answered her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yes, for so much. Peter said to her, how is it that you agreed together to test the Spirit of the Lord? Look, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out. Then immediately she fell down at his feet and breathed her last. And a young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her out, buried her by her husband. So great fear came upon all the church and upon all who heard these things.
Word of knowledge for the service of God, so that a spirit would come on the church as a whole. So the lying became a thing that God actually used to bless everybody around them. I think of how God is able to do that. Because the word of knowledge that revealed their sin, that caused the judgment to come on them for what they chose to do, actually had a positive effect on the people around to know who God is. And that is what this is about. The gifts of the Spirit are for the edifying of the body of Christ. The gifts of the Spirit are given. Some have some gifts more than others, but these gifts come by God's Spirit. And you, having God's Spirit in you, being a child of God, calling out to God, should have expectation and desire that God would bless you with gifts to help in ministry and service to other people. That your life would be used by God. Many years ago, I was asked to come in and pray for a group of blind people at a church. They were all blind. And I showed up there and they were just so hungry to have prayer. They knew a desperation for God in that room. They knew how much they wanted blessings, praying. Sometimes I wish that we had more of that in this place. A yearning for prayer, one with another, longing further. I see the fire starting, but it needs to go further. A yearning for God. Do you long to confess to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed? It's part of the bonding together of the body of Christ. But as I was praying, there was a woman who was the leader, helper of the group. She was not blind. But when the meeting was supposed to start, she wasn't there. We waited. She didn't show up. We started praying for the blind people that were there. And it was just a very joyful, wonderful time of ministry to these people. And then the woman who had been a servant to this group walked in. And it was almost as if, as I was praying for somebody, I couldn't help but look across, turn my head directly at her. And as soon as I saw her, I knew all about her. Not saying every detail of her life, but it was like an immediate download. I knew that this woman had been under bondage. I knew that this woman was suffering so badly in a weird kind of twisted pride of inferiority that she had such a strong belief she could do nothing to help anyone. And why should she even show up? Because who was she to minister? And I say it's a weird form of pride because you realize what inferiority really is. When you come to know God and you see your inferiority and you say, I can't do anything to help anybody, and you're saying, God, I can't do anything to help anybody, who are you looking at? Because God is greater than you. Do you have more faith in what you can't do than in what God can do? That is the point. It's a supreme, deceitful form of pride. It's false humility. Ah, woe is me. I can't do anything. We're not asking you to. We're asking you to open up your life to Almighty God and let Him do it through you. And there's no stopping God. That's why these are gifts. Who do the gifts come from? God. It says that the Spirit distributes gifts as He wills. You're not the one that's dependent to work these things up. You can't fake it. If you try to work it up, if you try to work up the gift of faith or the gift of healing or the gift of tongues or a word of wisdom, you can't give it up. But God, through you, can do all things. By faith in Him. That's why He says, you lack wisdom? Ask for it in faith, believing, and you shall receive. Saying maybe. And with the gifts of the Spirit, you have to have an expectation. That's where seeking gifts comes from. Saying, I believe in who You are, God, more than myself. My faith is not in me, nor in my sinfulness. You are my Savior. You are my Deliverer. You are my Champion. You are the one I come to and I need. So this woman walks into this room, but I keep praying in the circle for all the people that were there. And I get done praying for them.
And as I turn from the last person, she's standing right behind me waiting. And I don't even ask her what she wants prayer for. I know why she's there, and I start praying for her. And I pray and I speak all the things that are going on that the Lord had just shown me what was going on in her heart and in her mind and everything. And as I do, she just completely has a breakdown, completely starts crying, falls down to the ground, kneeling before God, just under the power of God and a repentance before God. And so I just minister to her for a little bit, and it's going on for a while. And other people are there, and obviously the ministry of the blind people, they're there for her and they're with her and knowing her and just giving her comfort as her friends. And when she collects herself, she says, "I wasn't coming here tonight because I thought, who am I to minister to anybody?" And she said, "But I started thinking about, God, why do you even want me involved in this group? God, why do you even want me here? God, why? I'm so weak. I'm so helpless. I'm nothing. I'm nobody." And she said, when she asked the questions of God, He said, "Go to the church. There's a man there who will pray for you to be delivered from this very thing tonight." She got a word of knowledge that brought her to me. I got a word of knowledge of what I needed to say for her. And she was able to repent before God right there in the midst. God was able to minister something, and it spoke to every person that was in that room. The deliverance of God, that God is knowing of heart, that God is knowing of mind, that God loves you. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows what's going on inside of you. He knows the conflicts that you have. He knows the sins. He knows the weaknesses. He sees everything. There is nothing hidden from God. And what should be so amazing to us as we sit here and contemplate and realize how knowing God is that all He's doing is reaching out and saying, "Come close. I want you near. Yes, you're in bondage. Yes, you're in sin. Yes, you've grown up in this. But even more so, amen and amen and amen, Jesus Christ has come to deliver you. You don't have to stay in the same places." And the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom that we've been talking about today are to help people to see the truth. The question is, are we seeking to minister to others in this way? Because it goes beyond head knowledge. It goes beyond theories. It goes beyond just trying to have perfect doctrine. Knowing the word of God is extremely important. But this word is to be leading us to God. Jesus said to the Pharisees, "You search the scriptures daily because then you think you have life, but yet you do not come to me, the one who will give you life." It's not some theory. Jesus is at the right hand of our Father in heaven. He loves you. He's on your side. He wants to build you up. He wants to build you up so that you can be a vessel to bring grace to others. The grace of Jesus Christ to their lives. To know the power of deliverance. Don't you want to give that to someone? See, that's why you would seek spiritual gifts. Because you're asking God to give you gifts to help in time of need, to give grace. And what are gifts? They are simply the manifestation of the grace that you go to find in time of need. Are you seeking His gifts? Are you seeking His grace? Are you asking it not just for yourself, but for others? That's why Paul said, if you're going to seek these gifts, be zealous for the gifts. But do it for the edification and the building up of someone else. Don't do it so you can say, "I had a gift of knowledge. It had nothing to do with me when I was in that room. I was a pawn in God's hands. That was it. I was just the vessel for something He wanted to do in that meeting, in that night." Peter, when he said to Ananias and Sapphira what had happened, he was just the vessel. He was just a man being used by God. When Elijah prayed and said, "Don't let it rain for 3 years," he was a vessel. And what does it say in James of that prayer? It says of Elijah, he was a man with a nature just like ours. Just like ours. The transformation wasn't that somehow they didn't have flesh like you do, that they didn't have weaknesses like you do, or that I do, but that God was greater. and the relationship with God, there's no substitute for it. There is no substitute for the relationship with God. We have to be seeking God. We have to be walking with God. We have to be talking with God. We have to be in communion with the Holy Spirit. That's where all this comes from. And what God does is shows us things about ourselves. He will show us our own weaknesses. He will show us His strength, His power, His deliverance. And He will show us how much He loves others. I'll tell you, the days that burden me the most are the ones that get occupied with prayer for someone else. Because when you let yourself go to pray for somebody as if it was yourself or even more than yourself, desiring their healing as if it was your healing or for your child, praying for them. And when you're just beseeching God, there's something amazing that happens, that God opens your eyes to see the situation and have the passion of love for someone else the way He does. I don't get that so much when I pray for my own stuff, my own needs. I don't. But when you go to pray for God, it is the most beautiful thing to start to see another person through the eyes of God. That's why He says, love your enemies. Pray for those who spitefully use you, persecute you. Because you know what you'll end up seeing? You won't end up with the hatred or the desire to retaliate or the vengeance in your heart. You will end up seeing them the way God does. And when you see a person the way God does, you enter in to what His kingdom is all about. His life, His love, His justice, His ways. It gives you patience, it gives you hope, and it helps you to actually have a zeal for the repentance, a zeal for the conversion of the person who might be acting out in sin and hurting you. God wants that. God wants that in your life. To know His love, to know His care for others. So as we finish this message, we, God willing, will be talking about more of these gifts in the future. But I want to remind you of what we discussed in James. We didn't read it, but it says, if you lack wisdom, ask in faith, believing that you will receive it, without doubting. Because a person who doubts should not expect it. You shouldn't expect the gifts from God. Believe who God is. And realize that all the gifts of the Spirit are given for the edification and the building up of the church of God to be used in love for others. So that their relationship with God would grow, so they would be called, that the spirit of the fear of the Lord would come upon. And all these things that we can look at and discuss in God's Word, that He's saying these gifts are part of the way the body works to benefit one another. So seek these things. Pray for them, believing, having an expectation that God will use you, and keep seeking with patience, not with an unbelieving or doubting heart, but with an expectation of who God is. And in so doing, your relationship with Him will continue to grow, it will continue to strengthen as you work together doing our Father's business here on earth.